Can you remember your first day working with real patients and anything that might have surprised you?
Yeah, so the first day working with patients was honestly terrifying. I remember it very vividly. Because there were six of us on our clinical floor, and we all kind of sat at this table in the middle of the floor, and we're like, oh my God, what do we do?
I'm just going to rub your belly here, Mrs. Smith, just to check how you're doing.
The process of becoming a nurse is one of those chicken or the egg scenarios. You can't be a nurse before you practice with patients, but you can't really practice on patients before you're a nurse. So how do students prepare for potentially life or death situations? It's not like people can fake a seizure or a heart attack for education's sake. Or can they? From News at Northeastern, this is Litmus, a conversation with Northeastern University's groundbreaking researchers. We connect what's going on in their labs to what's going on in your life. We're News at Northeastern reporters Emily Arnson
and Aria Bracci.
Today, we're exploring what it takes to fake a birth or stage a medical emergency. When it comes to healthcare education, even some of the most advanced technology can't replace the human touch. Natalie Garcia is a fifth-year nursing student. She's telling us about her first clinical class when she observed and worked in a hospital for the first time. On her first day, she remembers
kind of like not knowing, you know, how do I interact with this patient? It's a real human. How do I do my assessment?
A real human as opposed to the fake humans she practices on in class. These aren't your average CPR dummies, though. They're highly technical robots that are supposed to look and feel and act like real people.
Here, Mrs. Smith, just to check how you're doing.
Check your oxygen saturation.
But can robots really teach us anything about humans?
I'm feeling kind of dizzy.
Dizzy?
Yeah. Is that normal?
So do they come in here too and do like the simulations?
So this is kind of back scene at the theater. The students normally wouldn't see any of this.
This is Jamie Musler. He's the director of the Health Science Simulation Lab at Northeastern. His job is to stage medical emergencies. That way, students can test out what they've learned in class before they work with real patients. He's giving me and Aria a tour of the lab. We're here to observe one of the simulations, but before it starts, he takes us to the props room where they keep everything they need to set up a simulation. Costumes, wigs, extra furniture, and the human simulators, which are the robots the students practice on. They look like they're dead. We walk into a long, narrow room. It's brightly lit, very clinical looking. Immediately, we see four or five bodies stacked up along the walls. They're lying down on metal shelves, naked, and their eyes and mouths are wide open. And they're so pale. Their skin is basically white.
It does take on the appearance of a morgue at times, but we try to keep them alive as much as possible and happy and treat them like real people.
So he's showing us the human simulators, or the sims, and he's telling us about all these incredibly lifelike things they can do. They can bleed, they can blink, they can breathe.
They can sweat, they can urinate, they can seize.
They can dilate their pupils, they can metabolize medicine, they can even recreate
a deflated lung, a collapsed lung, heart sounds, all different heart rhythms, heart murmurs, normal heart sounds.
But I'm looking at them stacked up against the wall, naked, deathly pale, and honestly, these look like cadavers. And now that I'm thinking about it, they kind of are used like medical cadavers. Obviously, the students don't dissect the sims the way they would with real cadavers, but the point is more or less the same. They are both used for practice, so there's no risk of harming a real patient.
They can do just about anything that a person can do short of getting up and walking out on you, which is good because we don't always treat them very well.
Sometimes the simulations get a little bloody.
Oh, I just felt a gush come out of my legs. Sister, can you call the nurse, please?
In this simulation we watched, the sim has just given birth to a little sim baby. And then the mother starts hemorrhaging. I was standing in the lab while the simulation was happening, and honestly, it looks just like a hospital room. There were fluorescent lights and curtain dividers and all this equipment, like one of those reclining hospital beds, and an IV drip and a heart rate monitor. The set was super believable, except for the two-way mirror that faced the hospital bed. Before the simulation began, Aria set up on the other side of the mirror. From there, she saw how the instructors orchestrated the simulation from behind the scenes.
Unless you want to be the doctor?
Sure.
Then I can eat my lunch?
Yeah.
Yes.
Perfect.
Jesus, go get food.
Okay, I got it here. I'm just going to get it in my stomach.
One of the instructors talked into a microphone that was connected to a speaker near the sim's head, and the simulation began.
Sister, can you call the nurse, please?
Sister, can you call the nurse, please?
Yeah, I'll call her right away.
Thank you.
Thank you.
And cue the student nurses.
Hey, Mrs. Smith, how are you today?
I'm okay, except I just felt a gush come out, and it just didn't feel right.
I was standing on one side of the bed, really close to the sim's face, and the first thing I noticed was that her mouth didn't close. It was just stuck open the whole time, like she was frozen mid-scream. And she had these big blue eyes that were also wide open, just kind of staring into space. Nothing about her face looked alive. I definitely wasn't under the impression that this was, like, a real person, but some of the other details were surprisingly realistic, like her chest rising and falling. Okay, so it definitely sounded like a scuba diver breathing with an oxygen tank, but I was still impressed.
Okay. Vital signs, see where you're at from the last time.
There were two student nurses tending to the sim on either side of the bed, and then there was another student sitting off to the side, holding the sim baby and pretending to be the sim's sister. First, the students checked the sim's blood pressure. And then one of the students lifted up the sim's hospital gown to check her pad for blood.
So we have a considerable amount of discharge.
Definitely a lot of blood. And then they got a call from the OBGYN.
This is Nurse Catherine.
Hi, Catherine. This is Dr. Carson. I'm the OBGYN attending here. I was just looking for an update on our patient, Kelly Smith. I'm a little short-staffed today, so I haven't gotten a chance to round on her yet.
And then things got a little hectic. The sim started to panic a little bit.
So the OBGYN, Ms. Smith, just said that we should keep massaging. We'll change your pad, catheterize you, and see how things go from there.
So what will that do? Will that stop my bleeding?
Well, it's normal to have some discharge after birth, but this much discharge isn't that normal. So hopefully once we take the pressure off your uterus that your bladder could be putting on it, hopefully there will be less discharge.
I'd love to see my baby and know she's okay. And my sister, I want my sister near me. I'm getting scared and anxious.
I'm right here, Kelly.
Hold your hand.
Thank you. It's just good to know you're here. I'm really scared.
I won't leave your side.
I hear so many stories.
Everything's going to be just fine. Are you okay if I start and place the catheter?
Yes. Okay. I'm a little nervous.
Are you okay with your sister being here while we place the catheter?
Yes, I'm fine with that.
Okay,
let's lower you down a bit.
Simulation is over. Please head back to the debriefing room. We'll discuss there.
Bye. Thank you guys so much.
So we didn't get to go to the debrief with the students, but Aria and I had our own little debrief in another room afterward. I was very stressed when I came out of the simulation. If I had to guess, I'd say it lasted at least 20 minutes. But looking at the tape now, it only lasted 6. There was so much happening. Machines were beeping, the sim was bleeding, people were talking over each other. It was definitely overwhelming. But not because I was, like, convinced that I was actually witnessing someone hemorrhage. I knew it wasn't real, but something about the stress of the situation felt authentic. And that's actually what some of the nursing students said, too.
I feel like every simulation I've been, and we've walked out, and everyone was like, oh, my God, that was a hot mess.
So Natalie agrees, and so does Julia Thompson, a fourth-year nursing student we also talked to.
We all went to the debriefing room afterwards and we just like let out this huge breath like, oh my God, I can't believe we just did that. So that was my first experience with sim, certainly not the last.
But when we talked to Jamie, he said that making the simulation stressful is actually part of his strategy. It makes the exercise as realistic and educational as possible.
Yes, experience comes from flying 1,000 hours, but you can't guarantee something will happen in those 1,000 hours. Where in the world of simulation, we can guarantee all 1,000 hours will be stressful.
And by intentionally making the simulation stressful, he hopes he's preparing students for the worst. Julia can attest to this.
I would say my first experience with real patients was still kind of just as anxiety producing because all of a sudden it's like you're in charge. You're sort of like, oh, okay, I have to like knock on this door and go in this room.
But
nothing will ever compare on a fear level to what I had in sim, which is probably what they're going for, so that, you know, by the time you get through that first sim, you're ready to see a real patient, because you're like, okay, if I could deal with the worst possible scenario, I can deal with like this scenario that's in front of me.
And she's right. That's exactly what Jamie's going for. He wants to prepare students for real life medical emergencies where they'll have to perform under pressure. But I was having a hard time believing that nothing in real life could compare to the stress of simulations. So you thought that the situation with the Sims was higher stakes than with a real patient?
Yeah, it felt that way, which is so strange because I feel like most people would think, oh, you know, you're doing sim, you can't kill the person, right? Like, you know, it's a dummy on the floor. But it felt so much more real because they purposely kind of ratchet up the emotional stakes of it. So you're already nervous and you're in this place. Whereas I think in the hospital, I was, by the time I got there, I was more prepared for it.
Okay, so that's understandable. For Julia, her first simulation was stressful because it was the first time she had done anything with patients, albeit fake ones. And since it sounds like future patient interactions were actually less stressful for her, maybe she did learn something from the simulations.
So I understand that the high-stress situations, I guess, are helpful.
Natalie has a different opinion, though. She agrees the simulations are stressful, but mostly because they're so unnatural.
I think these situations require a lot of additional acting, which is kind of something that I'm not necessarily into. Obviously, it's not a real human. Like, you have to kind of see, oh, I can feel this here. You're kind of like narrating everything that you do with the patient, just so that, like, more so for your instructors know what you're doing and know that they know what you're doing.
Mm-hmm. And does that take away from the authenticity of the experience?
A little bit. I feel like sim labs, they make everyone super anxious and super nervous, and that's not something that we experience with normal patients. It's more natural with, like, human patients.
And this is something Julia and Natalie both mentioned. When they're in the simulations, they know it's fake, and that performative element sometimes really throws them off. But this isn't news to anyone who works in the sim lab.
You know, I think to some extent, as much as we try to convince them to treat the simulators like they're real, deep down you know they're not.
And obviously, things are different with a robot.
You know, their skin doesn't feel like real skin. They don't bend in the same way a real person does.
And for me, one of the most jarring things is that the Sims don't close their mouths.
They do not. They can blink, so they can close their eyes, but they cannot close their mouths.
Any reason?
The easy, uninteresting reason is it's not clinically relevant in most cases.
I'm not a nursing student, so I was thrown off the most by the differences in appearance rather than any differences in, like, bodily functions. But for a nursing student like Julia, these biological differences really stand out.
One thing that I think everybody has kind of said is that getting an IV into a doll is so much easier than getting it into a person, because typically there's, like, a tube in the arm that is standing in for a vein. So it's sort of like, oh, if you miss that, I mean, it's pretty easy to see.
Or, you know,
if you're, like, changing a wound, they don't really have a wound. So you kind of have to say, okay, if this person really did have this huge, you know, laceration on their leg, how would I fix it?
Do you think there will ever be any replacement for real people in medical education?
Absolutely not. Until you literally have to take a manual blood pressure on a person, until you have to turn them in bed to clean them off or make their bed, you're going to have no idea what that feels like. And I know that's why your first clinical is so intimidating for people, is because you're like, I've done this 1,000 times on a dummy that weighs 50 pounds and it's very easy to move. Okay, how do I do this on a 95-year-old person who's incontinent and can't get up themselves?
The Sims can do so much, but they're still not human. They can't feel, they don't have emotions. That might seem secondary when you're trying to teach someone how to handle a seizure, for example, but a huge part of working in healthcare is navigating people's emotions and making them feel at ease. The way Natalie sees it.
Honestly, nursing is all about patient interaction and all about the bedside manner.
So even though the sim dolls aren't perfect, simulations in general are actually pretty good at teaching students about patient interaction.
I tend to be a very sunny disposition sort of person, and I think what nursing school and what sim has taught me is that you can't walk into every single room and be like, hi, I'm Julia, I'm going to be your nurse today. You kind of have to learn to read the room. It might not necessarily be like, I might never encounter a hemorrhaging mother who I need to immediately assess, but I will certainly encounter a scared family member who doesn't know what's going on. So that, to me, is what's helpful about sim.
But a sim isn't a scared family member. You heard it in the simulation. The dialogue between the sim and the students is really awkward, and the students really have to suspend their disbelief. So if the sims can't teach students about patient interaction, who can?
Can you introduce yourself as the character that you're playing with back pain?
Yeah, my name is Georgina Samuelweish, and I'm in a lot of pain right now. They gave me a Percocet for this, and it helped me for a while, but the pain is back, and I really need something else. And I'm very, very uncomfortable. Please, please, please do something here, please.
In part two of this story, we talk to patient actors and explore what it really takes to be a convincing human. Special thanks to Jamie Musler, the director of Interprofessional Medical Simulation, and the Arnold S. Goldstein Simulation Labs. And thank you to Natalie Garcia and Julia Thompson for taking time to talk to us. Sound engineering by Aria Bracci, Emily Arnson, and Anthony Pulido. Our editor is David Filipov. From News at Northeastern, this is Litmus. We're News at Northeastern reporters Emily Arnson
and Aria Bracci.
Talk to you next time.